So I don't know if you are high church or low church, but high church doesn't read that scripture this early in the season. Normally, we're hearing about the prophets today. It's the first Sunday of Advent, and this is the way it works. Prophets, John the Baptist, if the pastor is really a little bit risky, then he brings up a Christmas on the third Sunday. And the fourth Sunday, all whole bars, you can do it just about anything that you want. Now, if you are like my brother who's Episcopalian, they don't talk about Christmas at all until Christmas. I know. I'm like, you know, Paul is his name. I said, Paul, you know, you guys don't get to sing any of the great hymns. He's like, but we got great Advent hymns. I said, name one. One great one. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. That's not even all that great. You all looked at me like, what? Sing that one. So why today are we hearing the real message? I mean, every time I hear this bit of scripture from Luke, I hear Linus in my head. You know, the greatest reader of the Gospel of Luke in all of history is Linus on Peanuts Christmas. It's just his little voice just draws you in. It's magnificent. But this is the first Sunday of Advent. You're jumping the gun, Pastor. Yes, I am, and for a good reason, a very good reason. Because I have, in the years of ministry that I have experienced, which is pushing something like 37 years of this now as I ordained pastor, I did it for 15 years before then, and if you add all that up, I started when I was 3. So it's, I've been doing this for a while. Actually, that's not too far, but I was about 6 when I started in the church as a server. Anyway, that long story. So why? Well, it's because of a story that I discovered some years back that I want to tell you about that I think makes this apply to us, not just at the end of the story, but at the beginning of the story, the beginning of the celebration of Advent, the beginning of the celebration of Christmas. It's a true story recorded by a woman named Edna Hong in a book entitled Bright Valley of Love. It is a story of a young man named Gunther. Now, Gunther was born right after the First World War, and he was deformed. It was at a time when nutrition was very poor, he didn't have what he needed, and he had a severe case of rickets, and his mother would have nothing to do with him. And so she was going to cast him aside because she was embarrassed by his deformity. She kept him locked up, out of sight, away from people. Nobody talked to him. Nobody answered his cries. They merely changed him when he needed to be changed and when it was convenient. And at age 6, he couldn't talk, and his deformity, which increased in severity due to a lack of sunshine and milk, prevented him from even walking. 6 years old, and he can't even walk. And his father met and married a new wife, and she refused to have anything to do with Gunther at all. And the grandmother would have nothing to do, and she insisted that Gunther be institutionalized. And, you know, this we're talking about the period between the world wars. Institutionalizing someone was almost a death sentence. But they left him at a place called Bethel, a Christian home for those who had epileptic fits, as well as physically and mentally challenged young people. And with the loving care of the staff and with the help of an epileptic roommate named Kurt, Gunther began to learn how to talk and began to learn about life. It was Kurt who told Gunther about Christmas, and the story of Jesus' birth and the love of God filled Gunther with joy. But there was something else that filled him, and it was fear. Because little Kurt, his best friend, his buddy, was getting worse and worse. In fact, he told Gunther one night that he'd overheard the doctors saying that he was going to go to his heavenly home, maybe even as early as Christmas. His epilepsy had become out of control. And on the first Sunday of Advent, when the pastor of Bethel had all the children together, a pastor named Fritz, Pastor Fritz, he began the Advent service. The joy and the excitement of the day wiped out Gunther's fear. When the moment came for the Advent candle to be lit, it was little Kurt who was chosen to do so. The children watched with great expectation as he took the small lighted candle and he leaned towards the unlighted candle of the Advent wreath, but suddenly the burning candle dropped to the ground because Kurt went into a tremendous epileptic fit. Suddenly, there was silence in the room. A moan burst from Kurt's lips, and his body writhed in spasm after spasm of this horrible seizure. One of the nurses quickly picked him up and carried him and left the room. And Pastor Fritz rescued the cracked but still burning candle, and he lit the reef, singing as he did so, and the staff and the children joined in until a shrill cry emerged from the heart of Gunther's fear. The song stopped and Gunther screamed, "There's a crack in everything." And every face in the room turned and looked at Gunther. Gunther looked only at one face, the face of Pastor Fritz. And once again, he flung his wild, desperate complaint against that face, saying, "There is a crack in everything. So what is so great about Christmas?" The silence in the room, it ached with Gunther's pain. And finally, Pastor Fritz turned from Gunther and appealed to the children, saying to them, "Gunther needs to know what is so great about Christmas. Will you help me to tell him, please?" And Sanford, a child with a mind for mathematics, said, "Christmas comes at December. December is the 12th month. Christmas comes on the 25th day, the 25th day of the 12th month." "So it does," Pastor Fritz said. "Thank you. Thank you, Manford." And Monica jumped to her feet and her beamed at Pastor Fritz and spoke the only words in her vocabulary, "Alleluia, oh Susanna." And then she sat back down. "Well, thank you, Monica," said the pastor. "Can anyone else tell Gunther what is so great about Christmas?" And Petra, the oldest of the patients there with a mental age of only 5 years old, said, "Christmas is so great because that's when God sent his son, Jesus, our Savior." And Pastor Fritz said, "That's true, Petra. Thank you. But why, children? Why did God send his son to be our Savior?" And finally, Lenny climbed from her chair to the top of the table and she shouted, because there's a crack in everything." Pastor Fritz said, "It's true, Gunther, that there is a crack in everything. God sees the crack better than we do, and the crack is ever so much worse than we think it is. And that is why God sent his son, not to patch up the crack, but to make everything new. That is why Christmas is so great, because there's a crack in everything." Man, what a downer message the first Sunday in Advent. I mean, it's Christmas time. We should be celebrating. We're supposed to be pretending that everything is great and there are no cracks in anything. Everything is just wonderful. Everything's fine. But I know many of you better now after 1 year among you. And I know you have experienced cracks this year, maybe even today. And you may be asking, along with Gunther, what's so great about all this? What's so great about God if this awful thing can happen to me? And the answer remains the same. Christmas is great because that is when Christ came to be our Savior. And he came precisely because there is a crack in everything. He doesn't cover over our cracks and make things look okay. He comes to make everything new. And without him, we would eventually fall apart. The cracks would grow. They would spread until we and our world literally crumbled around us. But with Christ, we can keep it together. With Christ, we know there is comfort and there is strength. With Christ, our relationships with others, they can be reconciled. In the book, Children Letters to God, the new collection, a little girl named Nan writes this letter. She says, "Dear God, I bet it is very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There's only 4 people in our family, and I have trouble loving them." Yeah, I mean, sometimes we do have trouble loving family members. Sometimes we have trouble loving neighbors. Sometimes we have trouble loving ourselves. There's a crack in everything. But Christ came because of the cracks. When confronted with the cracks, a cry of fear emerges from the heart of our fear. But Christ comes to calm those fears and to comfort us. He comes to make all things new. He comes to show us just how much God really loves us. And how much God wants to have a deep, loving relationship with us. But it takes some work. I love the story of a housewife. She's washing the dishes one night, and she had a plate, and she was looking at it, and she said that as she washed that plate, she thought to herself, how many times have I washed this plate? And she set it on the counter, and she turned around, and she went into her room, and she packed a few things, and she left. Yeah, just left. That night, she called home to tell her husband that she was okay, but that she would just not come home again. Sometimes she would call, and she'd call home to check on the children. The husband would tell her how much he loved her and how much he wanted her to come home. Please, please, I love you. Come home. But every time she refused. So the husband hired a detective, and the detective searched for her and found her. Living in a second-class hotel in a distant city, the husband took a bus to find her. He knocked on the door of her room. His hands trembled because he didn't know the kind of reception that he would receive. His wife opened the door, stood for a moment in shocked silence, and then fell into her arms. Later, at home, he asked her, "When you would call before, I would tell you how much I love you. Why didn't you come home then?" And she said, "Before, your love was just words. Now I know how much you love me because you came for me." Now let that roll over you for just a bit, because it can be said that the prophets of the Bible tried to tell us about God's love, tried to tell us in so many ways. We just didn't get it until he came for us. He broke into our history and became one with us, and as one of us, he showed us what love is all about. And that's what is so great about Christmas. Our question is answered, our painful cry is answered, our fear is comforted by the good news of Christ born at Christmas. He doesn't come to eliminate all of our pains, or to solve all of our problems, or to heal all of our diseases, or put an end to death. Bum Phillips, former coach of the Houston Oilers, once made the comment, "There are two types of coaches in the NFL, them that have been fired and them that are going to get fired." Yeah, but you know, his statement is true. It applies to us today. There are only two types of people in the world, those who have been hurt and those who will be hurt. We can't escape it. We can't avoid it because there are cracks in everything. But the good news of Christmas is that we now have hope. Hope. We cannot live adequately without it. The late German philosopher Immanuel Kant said that there are three questions that everyone asks. What can I know? What can I do? And for what shall I hope? Ravi Zacharias said one time, "Hope is that indispensable element that makes the present so important. Significantly, the absence of future hope has an amazing capacity to reach into the present and eat away at the structure of our lives as termites would a giant foundation." And Emil Brunner once said that oxygen is for the lungs, hope is for the meaning of human life. Take oxygen away and death will occur through suffocation, but take hope away and humanity is constricted through a lack of breath to despair and hopelessness. So what is so great about Christmas? Why do we start here today? Because in the midst of all of these cracks, in the midst of everything that you've experienced and will experience, we have hope because God is with us. He comes to be God with us. He comes to share our pain and ease it with his presence. He comes to us in the midst of our problems and gives us the strength to deal with them. He comes to help us to endure illness and to know wholeness in him. He comes to overcome death and give us new life. Gunther overcame the cracks. He learned to walk. He learned to talk. He learned to communicate. He became a poet of some renown and shared the love that was shown to him by the people at Bethel and his friend Kurt. With the love of Christ, we can overcome the cracks, friends. That's what I want you to take away with you today. And throughout this Advent season, we can overcome the cracks. For Christ, who came at Christmas, gives us hope, comfort, joy, and peace in knowing that there is indeed a God who loves us enough to be one with us and to be with us, and that, as God, Christ is powerful enough to conquer all of the cracks. Let us pray. Our Father, this is a heavy word for us today. And yet, for many of us, this has been a heavy year. A heavy experience of loss, a heavy experience of challenge, some health, some relationships. All of it can only be redeemed because we are people, ultimately, of hope. Our hope rests in you. Our hope rests in the foundation of our faith. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen.